The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony, I'm going to pull a Mr. Reich on you and say Boker Tov.
Boker Tov, Chad. Do you hear me now?
Yes, you're much better. Thank you so much.
Okay, nice to hear you. Boker Tov to you, to the listeners. Just a very brief COVID update. The Pfizer COVID treatment, the pills that Israel ordered, are due to arrive today in Israel. This is a pill that is supposed to be taken by patients who are in a mild to moderate condition within the first 3 days of the onset of symptoms. And this is it's called Paxlovid. It's a drug that's received FDA approval only last week. Emergency approval, I should add. So Israel will be using that starting from tomorrow, I guess, due to arrive today sometime. And so that's due to go straight into use as quickly as possible. And you know, in terms of the rest, unfortunately, one Israeli has been reported to have died from the Omicron variant, even though the vast majority of those Israelis who are hospitalized with COVID are, the vast majority of them are unvaccinated people or people who are not fully vaccinated. We're back to the same theme again, where it seems quite clear that getting vaccinated makes a difference. I know not only in Israel, but amongst the listeners and elsewhere around the world, that there are many people who are very concerned about the vaccination, who are not eager to take it for one reason or another, and I do understand that. Our indications, the evidence that we have on the ground here, is that the more vaccinated you are, the less likely you are to suffer from serious consequences of contracting COVID or having to be hospitalized or intubated or and even deaths. The number of deaths are much lower. I understand that the person, the Omicron sufferer who died, actually had been vaccinated, so it doesn't mean that it completely protects you under all circumstances, but certainly a very, very strong indication that vaccinations do help a lot.
Sure. Well, you know what? It's there. We have the tools at our disposal to fight it. And hopefully in 2022, we can look back and say, well, the scientists were right. The fight worked and we can move on. But that being said, we can't be overly optimistic because we've been thrown so many curveballs by this pandemic the last couple of months that we just have to wait, hope and see. Mr. Reich, the Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz yesterday hosted Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas to a meeting at his home in Israel. I believe this is the second meeting that they've had, but what do you think was discussed at this particular meeting?
Yes, so it came as a little bit of a surprise, not only that the meeting took place, because it wasn't a natural consequence of recent events. We didn't see this one from a distance at all. And the fact that Mahmoud Abbas came to Rosh Ha'ayin, to Benny Gantz's private home, to hold this meeting last night, I think is also something of an indication of a growing relationship between these two individuals. And what I find fascinating is that on the one hand, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has made clear that he has no intention of meeting with the Palestinian Authority president under any circumstances. On the other hand, we are told that the meeting with Benny Gantz was very much coordinated with the Prime Minister's office, that Naftali Bennett himself was very personally involved in approving the meeting, in agreeing the agenda, in agreeing, you know, the contents of the meeting. All of that was very much coordinated. The last time that these two met was in Ramallah, and it was at a time when Naftali Bennett actually was in the United States on one of his visits there. And ultimately, he came out quite critical of some of the statements that Benny Gantz made following that meeting, even though we do understand that even the first meeting had been fully coordinated and that they knew they were fully in sync with each other as concerns the meeting. And yet when it came the moment that the Prime Minister had to kind of support his defense minister, he was quite reluctant to do so on particular issues. This time around, we haven't quite seen that transpire, but I think the meeting is a very fascinating one. The headline says that the meeting took place in order to try to set some sort of a background to develop and progress political and security discussions. However, the subtext was that the meeting was all about security and economic issues, which, of course, Defense Minister Benny Gantz is fully qualified to discuss, particularly on the security issues, perhaps less so on the economic issues. But also there is some speculation as to whether this meeting might not also have come against the backdrop of an increase in the number of terror attacks that have taken place recently targeting Israelis, and whether this might not be something of an attempt to put a stop or at least reduce the number of terror attacks that have been taking place. Anyway, the meeting seems to have taken place in a very positive atmosphere. Benny Gantz advised that he informed Mahmoud Abbas of his intention to continue advancing confidence-building measures in economic and civilian areas, as was determined apparently in their previous meeting. And he said that he said that the party shared interest in deepening security coordination, maintaining regional stability, and preventing terror and violence. So back to that topic of trying to perhaps reduce the number of terror attacks. The meeting was divided into two parts and apparently took place over a period of 2.5 hours, which is not insignificant. It wasn't just some quick fly-by-night 10-minute discussion. This seemed to be something which is more in-depth. The first part of the meeting involved other people who had been brought along to attend the meeting. So in the case of Israel, the coordinator of government activities in the territories, Major General Aliyan, was present, and on the side of the Palestinian Authority, the General Authority for Civil Affairs, Hussein al-Sheikh, was there, as well as one or two other officials who attended in the group meeting. Then, after the group meeting had taken place, apparently Benny Gantz and Mahmoud Abbas went into a meeting under four eyes, just the two of them, where they discussed whatever they felt was appropriate to discuss without the attendance of all the officials around them. And apparently the meeting ended in a very positive atmosphere. So it's interesting that as an official government policy, Naftali Bennett is saying we are not meeting with the Palestinian Authority. On the other hand, he's very much endorsing the meetings that are taking place with Benny Gantz. Benny Gantz is being allowed to develop his relationship, his personal relationship with Mahmoud Abbas, as well as bringing the Israeli government along the path a little bit to somehow try to develop more of a relationship with the Palestinian Authority. It's been a very, very long time since the two leaders, the Israeli Prime Minister and the Palestinian Authority President, met. This is potentially laying the groundwork for a meeting between the two leaders, in spite of Naftali Bennett's very firm stand, but it is potentially laying the groundwork in the not too distant future. And we've also seen recent meetings with the U.S. administration, where the Palestinian Authority leadership is once again being brought back into the fold after a period of quiet, a period where they didn't engage almost at all with the U.S. authorities, particularly during the Trump presidency. So slowly but surely, it seems to be coming back. And of course, the interest to the Palestinian Authority is really two or threefold. First of all, they would like to maintain security coordination and calm in the Palestinian Authority area. For Mahmoud Abbas personally, he's trying to enhance his own personal standing within the Palestinian Authority area. Apparently, he's suffering from relatively low opinion polls, opinion ratings at the moment, and so he's trying to enhance his personal standing. And of course, economically, all the time that there is greater cooperation and coordination between the Palestinian Authority and the U.S. authorities and the Israeli authorities, there is more money flowing into the coffers of the Palestinian Authority. That's good for their economy, and of course it's good for the leadership, who get a fairly substantial piece of that particular pie.
Thank you for that. Moving along swiftly to the environment, bird flu's broken out in Israel, threatening the supply of eggs and chicken. And earlier this week, we heard about the death of blue cranes. So the wildlife has also been impacted. What is the current status of this bird flu?
Yeah, a fairly serious outbreak of bird flu. Apparently, it's not something which is unique to Israel. This is something that seems to have been breaking out much more broadly, but has been brought to Israel I'm guessing by migrating birds. I can only, that's my best understanding, but there were certain outbreaks, first of all, in chicken coops, in various parts of Israel, three all in all that were recently discovered, which had to lead to the destruction of something 500,000 hens as a result of the outbreak of bird flu. Apparently, the Israeli government has ordered 100 million eggs to be delivered to Israel from abroad in order to try to overcome the shortage of supply that is affected. And in Israel, a shortage of chicken and a shortage of eggs is the worst possible shortage. You can cancel every Amazon order known to mankind, do anything you like, but don't limit the supply of chicken and eggs. That's really very serious, particularly in the winter when it's knedel soup time and there will be no knedlach and there will be no soup as a result of a lack of chicken and eggs. But on a more serious basis, Israel is very much a large consumer of chicken and of eggs, and this has a very serious impact. But as you mentioned, it is impacting on the environment as well. There's been a high mortality of cranes and other birds that were found to be infected with bird flu. It indicates a very severe and abnormal outbreak, which is the way that the environmental ministry has described things. Of course, Israel has a migration path. It has many birds that migrate over the spring and over the autumn season, sure, particularly concentrated in the Chula Valley area. And apparently, there is an estimate that something like 5,000 migratory cranes have already lost their lives since arriving. So a very, very serious outbreak.
Very indeed. Sad, and let's hope that they can get those eggs and chickens into Israel. With just 2 minutes left, a look back on 2021, how serious is the threat of Iran that is presented to the public?
So we talk a lot about Iran, and I thought that we really needed just to raise Iran as a 2021 subject, because it really was, not only in the context of the discussions about the Iranian nuclear program and the potential for the U.S. to return back to be part of that particular agreement that was signed, but also we need to take into consideration that for us, the threat from Iran is not exclusively about Iran building a nuclear weapon. I mean, that is a threat, and it's very difficult for us as a man in the street to assess whether that threat is as real and as pressing as we have been led to believe by successive ministers and prime ministers' leadership in our government. But let's also remember that Iran is a massive donator of funds, of arms, of ammunition to so many groups that surround Israel, that seek Israel's destruction. Hezbollah, Hamas, some elements of the renegade groups in Syria. These are all groups which are being funded, which are being armed by Iran, which are surrounding Israel, which present a real threat to Israel's existence. Does it present an existential threat? I'm not sure. We have a very strong army, and I think our army can cope with it. But it certainly presents an everyday life threat to people who live on the borders, to soldiers who need to police these areas. Iran is definitely a threat. As to the nuclear program, I think we can all decide for ourselves whether that really represents the existential threat that we are led to believe that it does. Some people are of the strong view that the IDF is strong enough to take care of that. Others believe that we really need to stop Iran in its tracks, otherwise Israel is very much at risk of being destroyed. I will leave each of you to come to your own conclusion about that one.
Well, Anthony, I look forward to our discussion tomorrow, the final for the week, and it'll be our final interview with each other for 2021. So let's end off on a high note. Thank you so much, Anthony Reich, all the way from Israel with the Israel Report.